we're looking together at the book of Acts in a series called We the Church, Gospel Power for God's People. I love the book of Acts as we see this church take its early steps in obedience, and we see them looking to God, trying their best to figure things out, and they've taken several steps already that we've seen in trust and faith, not knowing what to expect. Not knowing, you know, as they place each foot and land their weight upon the promises of the Lord Jesus, would this be one of those moments when God vanishes, where they were forsaken, but they took these anyway, and God proved true at each step. And today, they're retreating back to their friends, to those who are in the church. And what has happened is Peter and John were going to the temple at the ninth hour, the time of prayer, and a man was sitting there, had been there for 40 years. Not there for 40 years, but he had been coming there for 40 years and begging for money because he was paralyzed. And so Peter and John come up, and the man asked them for money, and they tell him, listen, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he does this, and everybody sees this, and he goes around the temple leaping and bounding and praising God, so that all the crowds, they don't meander in, they rushed in. They rushed in to see what was happening, and Peter and John are standing there, and no one could deny the miracle because they had seen him for 40 years come here. They knew him from birth that he was paralyzed, and so no one could deny it. A supernatural act of God's power had occurred, and certain people, the same people who crucified Jesus, the leaders there, did not like this. And they summoned them in front of them in a council chamber after keeping them in prison overnight and directed them not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Peter, with boldness, was filled with the Spirit, and he said, listen, whether it is right in your eyes for us to obey you rather than God, that's for you to decide. But as for us, we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And the leaders look and they say, well, there's nothing we can do. What happened here, we can't even deny it. It actually did happen. And they sent them on their way. Peter and John go back to their friends, and they say a prayer together. They come together, and they tell their friends what has happened, and they go to God together in prayer. And this prayer is what we're going to look at today. This prayer tells us a lot about what matters when we need strength. Because they were worn out. The power of God had been moving through them, and we're not worthy vessels for that. When the power of God moves through us, be ready to have this humanity tested. The power of God moved through them. They were tested. They were confronted. The Holy Spirit came, and now they retreat back, and they're in need of strength. I think they're looking to God for reassurance. Tell me, God, what's next? What do we do? And we're going to look at this prayer together. A lot of dads here this morning, and it's a all your kids think you're superheroes, and that's great. My kids do too, but if you're a dad and you want to know that you don't have superhuman strength, just try falling asleep in your living room floor and wait for one of your little ones to come jump on your belly, okay, while you're asleep. You'll know then that his dad is stronger than you, but guys, men, women, all of us, we need strength. No matter how strong we need to be in this world, no matter how strong we believe that we are by our natural ability or by our position, maybe you're an executive in here today, and what you say gets done around your office. And we have a certain strength, but to live for the Lord, we need the strength of the Lord. And if we want supernatural results, then we need to be relying on supernatural strength. They go to God. And what they say to him tells us something. Let's read together Acts chapter 4. And we're going to look in verse 23 through 31. And this will be on your screen. But if you do have your own Bible, it's great to open it up and to follow along, to lay your eyes on what we're reading together. So Acts chapter 4, verse 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. Now, just a side note here, two things. When they were in this time of need, they went back with other Christians. That's why we're here together this morning. That's why it's a myth to say, I will live my Christian life, I will walk this Christian road without others in the church. I'll do it on my own. Many people say that. Not true. They went back to the fellowship together, and immediately the first thing they did is lifted their voices together to God. And there's something in that. Sovereign Lord, here's what they said. They said, Sovereign Lord. This is a very specific word in the New Testament. It's not the normal word for Lord. It's a word that has an absolute power. It's exactly what it is. It's an absolute power. Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, quote, he's quoting from Psalm 2, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants. What did they pray for? I mean, what would we pray for at this moment? And God, you've seen the threats. You've seen the people who crucified Jesus they're all arrayed against us. Lord, please bring us safety. God, please bring us relief. Back them down just a little bit, God. I mean, give us some space. Lord, please protect us. Please give us some peace. All those are fine things. They're fine things. But that's not what they prayed for. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness, with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal. And signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. What matters? What matters when we need strength? The first thing we see here is this. One thing that matters is God's authority over creation. God's authority over creation matters when we need strength. They appeal to God, they go in prayer, and the first appeal they make is to God's role in creation. They anchor their prayer back in that first act of God in this world. They say this, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them. Now, this is just not a formula. There's no accident that they decided in this time of need to appeal to God as creator. They did this on purpose, and it matters to us in three different ways. The fact that God has authority over creation, it shows us the scope of God's power. It shows us the scope of God's power. In Luke, there's a story in Luke and Matthew and Mark. All three have this account of Jesus as he's on the boat with his disciples, and he's riding and he's sleeping, and a storm comes and they become very fearful, and they wake him up and say, save us. Jesus speaks to the winds and waves and he says, peace, period, be still, period, stop it. And the wind and waves, they do stop. And the disciples look at him. They say, what type of person is, who is this then that even the wind and the waves obey his commands? What type of person is it who can speak to creation and it happens? And so the deal is, if God is sovereign, if he has authority over all creation, then he certainly has authority over the things in your life. when you're weak and you appeal to him for strength and you say, God, in this situation, can you help me? The answer is yes. You look at creation and you say, okay, the God who did that can help me. I hate umbrellas. I mean, I know that's a strange thing to hate, but I hate umbrellas. I think you get more wet with an umbrella than without an umbrella. And the worst is when you're with somebody else. It's raining, it's pouring, you arrive at your destination in the car, and you try to get out, and they say, hold on, I've got an umbrella. You're like, oh, great, you know. And so they reach, you think they're going to go back to the back seat and bring out a good umbrella, and they reach in their purse or something and bring out a tiny umbrella. They raise it up, it's like, bink, you know, and so the two of you are squished under this umbrella walking in, and by the time you get there, you're just soaking wet, you know. And now, I do have an umbrella for urgent cases, but it's gigantic. And guys, let me just say this to the guys here. If you're going to have an umbrella, get a manly umbrella, okay? One that, it's got to fit in the bed of your truck. You got to go in the bed of your truck to fit. But if you think about God's power, authority over creation as an umbrella, the biggest umbrella. You think God spoke creation into existence. What's outside of creation? There's nothing outside the umbrella of creation. And so you think about your situation. You think, is my situation, the weakness that I'm facing, the hurt that I'm facing, the need that I'm looking and praying for, does it exist outside the umbrella of God's power to create everything? That even the wind and waves obey his name? The answer is certainly no. That's why the appeal to creation brings us confidence. It brings us comfort. The second is this. It reminds us of God's control over matters that are out of our control. Who saw the rainbow last night? Okay, great. There was a rainbow right here in this area. And one of you posted it on social media. And I saw it in my backyard. It was a striking rainbow. I mean, I've seen a lot of these. And this one was so clear and just defined and bright. And every strata of the color system, you could see it clearly. And man, I just stood out in my yard and just stared at this for a long time. And when you look at things like that, you have to ask the question. You don't have to, but could I do that? Could I make a rainbow like that? The answer is no. No, I cannot make a rainbow. I cannot make trees. I cannot fashion storm systems. I cannot do these things that God has done. And when we see God's creation, it's a reminder that God has control over matters that we do not. Life feels out of control sometimes, but it is not out of God's control. We look at creation, and we are reminded of that. Next time you're in need, maybe the first thing you ought to do is look at creation. You look at that mountaintop, and you say, could I have made that? No. This feels out of control to me, but clearly there are things under God's control that I don't have control over. And the last is this. It shows the primacy of God's authority. Creation, God's authority over creation, shows the primacy of his authority. And what that means is he was the first. Nothing sources and nothing limits God. There is no authority before him. There is no power before him. We bought a little garden system in our yard, a little Ace Hardware 4-foot by 4-foot garden system, okay? I'm sorry. That's all we had. We planted our garden in that little thing from Ace Hardware. And so we set it out there, and I was so excited. And I went to the store, and I bought Miracle-Gro soil. I dumped that Miracle-Gro soil in there. I was so proud to have Miracle-Gro soil. And I went back, and at Walmart, I found some granules in a little bucket, and you could sprinkle them. I love to sprinkle those granules. I knew I was making this garden the best garden ever. And I could just imagine the nutrients and the nitrogen and all that being soaked up into the roots of my vegetables. And my garden being much better than my neighbor's garden, okay? That's what I wanted. But you can imagine how you look at a tomato, or you look at, we planted some peppers and cucumbers, and I can imagine seeing those and thinking, yes, because they were fed by all the good things that I put in there. Listen, that's the pattern of our existence, but God was fed by no one. God was sourced by no one. He did not require any nutrients to do what he does. When we look at creation, God's first and primary act on this planet, when we look at that, we say this is a God who is sourced by no one, who needs no one, and we take comfort in that. What'd they do? They went straight to the Lord in prayer, and they first appealed to him as creator. Keep that in mind. It's so easy. The Bible says, I lift my eyes up to the hills. But that's not where our help comes from. It continues. Our help comes from the Lord. Okay? Creation stands as a testimony to God himself. He's with us. God's authority over creation, it matters. Also, God's unbreakable plans matter. His unbreakable plans matter. He quotes, the Bible quotes here from Psalm chapter 2. And if you will, turn to Psalm chapter 2 in your Bible. I think you'll be glad you did. This is, as I often say, this is something to put in your pocket. This is a psalm you want to remember. You want to be able to call upon. He quotes roughly from Psalm chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses here, and it'll be on your screen as well. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords from us. So the kings of the earth, the rulers of the earth, they know that God has standards of righteousness. They say, let us just burst God's, let's burst his cords off of us and go our own way. Here's what God does. Verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. This means ridicule. He laughs at them. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. God's plans are not affected by opposition. God looks around and sees opposition and says, that's funny to me, because as for me, I have set Jesus on his throne. I have set my king on his holy hill, period. The end. God's not worried about it. And as they appeal to God in this prayer, they go back to that. And they say, yeah, God is a creator, but also his plans are unshakable. They're unbreakable, no matter what the opposition is. There are four groups mentioned here on your screen. There are four groups in verse 26 and four groups in verse 27. And you'll see those right there. And the image to be painted here is not the specifics of who's in the group, but how complete the opposition is. North, south, east, and west, everywhere you turn, there's hopelessness. There's enemies. Life is like that sometimes. I've met so many of you over the past 6 weeks, and it's been a joy, and it's been a sorrow to hear many of the things you're facing. And there's times that I've sat with you and just not known what to offer back in return. Because I know that your situation is painful. And I know that it's a sorrow to you. And I know that when you reach in your pocket and your tool belt to figure out what can I do to fix this, you're empty-handed. That there's no way that you turn, that there's not opposition, that the hopelessness is not complete. That's why those four groups are mentioned. And then a parallel in verse 27. Everywhere you look, there's opposition. They appeal to the psalm. They say, to God, it does not matter. God can overcome what we cannot overcome. Look at Ephesians chapter 1:11. You don't have to turn there, but just listen. It speaks of God's working, and it happens this way. He works according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. And so you can imagine God looking at the opposition, looking at your life and what you're facing right now, looking at all that is arrayed against him in might, in power, the whole circumference around him, and then looking to the counsel of his will and saying, you know what? I think I'll go with that. I think I'll go with the counsel of my will. That's what God does. He works all things according to the counsel of his own will. Isaiah 14, 27, "For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back?" When you're in need of God, men, fathers, moms, when we're in need of strength, what matters? It matters that God's plans are unbreakable. It is not foolhardy to step out in obedience. God is not backed down by opposition. His plans do not change, even to the degree that he laughs at those who think that they can alter what he has set forth. The third is this. Third thing that matters is the uncertainty of the human perspective. The uncertainty of our perspective matters. We have to admit this. We have to admit that even though God sees things from above, we see things from right here, and we don't know necessarily what is around the corner. Here's what verse 28 says, that all these forces, these enemies there, were there to do whatever your hand, God's hand, and God's plan had predestined to take place. They didn't know what that was. That last time it was to crucify their friend, Jesus. Later on it's going to be to stone their friend Stephen, a deacon in God's church. Paul and Barnabas are going to find themselves hurting, and many of the apostles will be imprisoned and beaten later. Whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. We don't get to know what the future may bring. We just don't. But we do get to decide on our posture before God's future. Here's an example of what I mean by that. I worked as a police officer in midnight shift in urban areas of Chattanooga for a long time, and we got a call once to a museum downtown, right at the foot of Lookout Mountain in Chattanooga, and an old building been there, I mean, a long, long time. And we got there and jiggled the handle, and the door swung open. And so we were going through the building and searching it, and the other officer went one way, and I went this way, and I came to a curtain there. I couldn't see behind the curtain. And I paused for a moment and took a breath and had my pistol in my hand, and I swung back that curtain as suddenly as I could, and there was a man standing there with a rifle pointed right at me. And my finger came on the trigger and depressed it. I mean, I can't believe it didn't go off before I realized it was a Union soldier with a musket. It was a museum piece. That would be just the thing to happen to me, but I'm glad I didn't shoot him, you know. But we don't know what's behind the curtain. You know, the limitation of the human perspective, we don't know. We don't get to decide if we can know or not. But we do get to decide if we're going to open the curtain or not. Do you see that? Do you see, we don't know what's ahead, but we do get to decide our posture before God's future. Will we obey God? Will we place the weight of our lives and those steps upon him? We don't have to. We can say no, okay? But that's our decision to make. Their prayer was one that factored in the uncertainty of our perspective. Their prayer for boldness, they prayed not for safety, not for help. They prayed for boldness to obey. And I hope that's what that we'll be praying for. I hope, dads, that's what we're praying for. Boldness to obey. Boldness to do the daring. Boldness to pull back the curtain, and we don't know what's back there, but to go ahead with God. The fourth thing that matters is this. This is the last one. What matters is God's partnership with us. God's partnership with us. And we're supposed to do one thing. They prayed for boldness to continue to speak the word of God boldly. But also, simultaneously, while you, verse 30, while you, God, stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. We've talked about this recently, but we're in partnership with God. And that's unspeakable. I mean, That doesn't happen in other religions and other places, that God would invite our hands and his power to combine together. But that's the case here. And what matters is our partnership with God. The partnership is specific here. It's specific that God's power accompanies our boldness. And without both ingredients, the thing doesn't happen. When we're bold, we are accompanied by God's power. You've seen mismatched relationships before. It hurts your heart sometimes when you see some young lady that's grown up in the church, and she's a beautiful young lady. She's smart and intelligent and sharp. And she starts going out with some little weaselly guy, you know what I mean? And before long, they're engaged, and there's a ring on her finger, and you go to the wedding, and you're like, oh, please, why, you know? And, you see this happen. You see it happen a lot, you know? A mismatch of relationships. We've got to be careful not to be mismatched with God, because God has said, I will match my power with your daring, with your boldness. I will match my power with your boldness. And many times we are so tempted to come to God without boldness and say, but Lord, we do want your power. God, we want your power in our family and in our church, and we want your power in my life. And Lord, you know I'm looking for a promotion. God, bring me your power. And God wants to remind us, listen, that's a mismatch that I don't honor. Because I bring my power together with your obedience and boldness. What are you praying for? What are you asking God for? For safety? For comfort? Not to be disturbed? Not to have your plans altered by him? Or are you saying, God, I lay it all before you. You just please God. Oh God, please, not for a moment, don't you let me, Lord, cease to follow you, because I want your power to come alongside me. Don't be mismatched with God. There's a statement from a book that I read called Churchless. It's put together by the Barna Group about people who struggle to come to church. And here's what this particular passage says. It says, people don't come to church for the carnival rides. They come to meet God. People complain about the uncomfortable seats and the stale popcorn when center stage is empty of the main event. And let us be people of prayer to ask that would never be us. Let us be people of prayer that plead with God to say, Lord, no, I don't ever want to be preoccupied with the popcorn. God, I don't want to ever be served up just the junk of a weak and watered down walk with you, God. I offer my boldness and my life to follow you. And when we do that, God comes along and he offers his hand. And when we see that happen, that's something that you're going to want to celebrate, something you're going to desire and thirst for. Is center stage empty in our lives, in your life? Who is on the center stage of your life? Is it you or is it God? Don't let center stage be empty. Focus on the main event. The last thing is this, and this is a matter of conclusion. The last thing that matters is the assurance of God's presence. What happens in verse 31? After they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. See, when we do what God asks, we see his power come. They saw it. The building was shaken. The Spirit was that filled them. They spoke with boldness even more. We saw God's power. And I don't want to miss the power of God. I don't want you to miss it, guys, in your lives, in your families, in raising your boys and your daughters. I don't want you to feel weakened in this life as men. I want you to know God's power. I want him to shake you up some and fill you with the Spirit. And craft us into men of stature and boldness that our families look to, that we're examples, the right examples. That happens when we obey God. The assurance of his presence comes, and he shows us that he's with us in various ways. Be looking for that. If you're going to go with God, be looking for him to do remarkable things to tell you of his presence. Where does your life stand this morning? That's the question that we're going to end with. Where does your life stand? Are you in need of strength? We all are. But are you going to the right place for it? God has shown us where to go. Let's not forsake what he's shown us this morning. Let me pray for us. I know your heads are bowed, and that's okay, but in just a moment, we're going to have a time of response, and you don't have to respond if you don't want to, but many times in settings like this, God speaks to us. The Holy Spirit, it is not strange that he would say something to you or lead you to do something, to move toward him. Maybe you'd come for salvation today or to recommit your lives. Maybe you come to pray for your families, dads. I don't know. Maybe you're looking for a place to plant your life as a family. Poplar Springs is a wonderful church. It's a place where you can make a contribution, where your life will matter. You'll be together with other believers as we walk with God together. Whatever that is, I urge you to listen to God. Don't turn him down. When God speaks, not something you want to dismiss. Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for trusting it to us, Lord. I thank you for these men in the early church who were walking an unsteady road, Lord, and you never failed them, Lord. Not for a moment did you ever fail them. God, you're the same God. You're here with us this morning. You're not failing us, Lord. You're not forsaking us, God. Lord, please, Holy Spirit, by your power, by your desire, God, to uplift the exalted Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll speak to hearts here today, to men and fathers and ladies and mothers, to young people, Lord, that you'll stir in us and give us that boldness, Lord. Join us with your power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing together, and as we do, you can respond.